This is the Riot Act Super 14 Rugby Review.
Hello and welcome to the Riot Act Rugby Review. We're going to be taking you through this year's rugby season, trying to predict what's going to happen, trying to dissect what has happened. Here in the pod with me is Tim.
Hi, everybody.
And we are going to be joined by a cast of others throughout the season, but at the moment it's just us, with possibly Katina. Say hello. If she feels we've said something that needs addressing. Okay, then. Super 14. Who do you think's going to win?
One of the teams playing, probably. They've all got a good chance. I think it'd be hard-pressed to go past the Crusaders. Has really good chances. Blues, Waratahs have a strong outfit this year. And I think possibly the Hurricanes is a bit of a wildcard entry. For South African teams, I think the Bulls over there have got the best chance.
Yep. Who was it? Which South African team last year toured really well? Was it the Stormers?
I can't recall, actually.
It was one.
It's all vague to me.
South Africans. Anyway, let's go through the teams. Tell us what you think of them. Auckland Blues?
Yeah, good outfit. They've lost a bit this year, but I think the second year under David Nisipora, really start to shine and show some good cohesion.
Mm-hmm. Any stars there?
Kevin Mialamu for me. Yep. Stepping up into the captaincy role this year, and I think we'll take that on well. I had a look at their team roster today, and they've got a game against the Hurricanes this weekend. But yeah, strong outfit all around.
Yep.
They'll be good.
Okay. Next up, top four finish.
Yeah, definitely top four finish.
Okay. The Chiefs.
Chiefs are always a bit of a wild card, I reckon.
But they're a wild card in any given game. I mean, over the season, they're not.
Yeah, I think they just lack the consistency of some of the other New Zealand teams. Mm-hmm. They have the potential.
Home ground's too small as well, isn't it? Which.
Yeah, I think they probably lose out on that. They don't have one dedicated home ground. I think the Chiefs move around a little bit.
Yeah.
So they probably lack a little bit.
So do the
bit.
Crusaders, though. And that's
yeah, to a lesser extent. But, yeah, I think they lose out a bit in terms of home crowd support by not having, say, a 40,000-strong crowd getting up for them. We see how sort of fervent the Brumbies supporters are with 25,000. And I don't think the Chiefs can even get that many.
I think it's more like
15,000 to 20,000 is best. Yeah. So, you know, when you don't have sort of strong home crowd to supporting you, you probably lose a bit, but they've got some great players. Kelleher is back again this year.
Jono Gibbs.
Jono Gibbs, has been playing exceptionally well for a couple of years now. And those guys are, stepping up and providing strong leadership to some young guys. They'll be pretty good, but I think probably just outside the top four, top eight finish. No question.
Okay. Crusaders.
You can't go past them. They're effectively fielding an All Black squad.
Yeah, so do Auckland, though.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's an All Black in New Zealand, same as the Wallabies. Everybody's a Wallaby. But they've shown consistently over the last 8 or so years of Super 12 that they're a class outfit. They probably lose a bit this year with the sort of retirement of Justin Marshall, in the distribution stakes. But Dan Carter, class outfit, he's stepped up. Ruben Thorne still holding the pack together. And, Richie McCaw, what can you say about him? As long as he holds up with his injuries, they'll be the team to beat.
Well, McCaw's still sickeningly young for a player with his reputation, isn't he?
Yeah. He's a bit like George Smith in that regard. You sort of forget how young they actually are. But, guys with such incredible experience.
Yeah. Okay, then. So there, your tip for number one, definitely top four.
Definitely top four. And I'd probably... They'd be up there. I think they're definitely a top two place.
Yep. Okay then. Highlanders. House of Pain.
They have the House of Pain, which they win at, but if they win all the time at House of Pain and can't travel, they're only going to win half their games. And
You can say the same with the Brumbies, and they've won two finals.
Yeah, you can, but the Brumbies perform a bit better away from home, I think. Mm-hmm. Perhaps the advantage of being halfway between South Africa and New Zealand helps the Brumbies, and it doesn't help the Highlanders. Always a young outfit, got some great players. Nick Evans, I've been very impressed with for a couple of years. Anton Oliver's back in good form again.
Even if he can't count.
Even if he can't count, who cares? Tony Brown has always been a good general for them.
He's not getting too old?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, he's got one of those faces. He looked like he was 40 when he was 20, didn't he?
Yeah. He's a bit timeless, I should say. But, yeah, they're a good outfit. They always play, you know, reasonably well, but never, you know, outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
If you win at the House of Pain, great. You beat the Highlanders, everyone else.
Yeah. So, top eight, maybe?
Yeah, I'd put them around a finish of eight. I think they're probably going to finish the lowest of the New Zealand team.
Lower than the Chiefs, you reckon?
I would put them lower than the Chiefs.
Fair enough, then. And last out of the Kiwi sides, we've got the Hurricanes.
I like the Hurricanes this year. They've recruited well in the off-season.
Mm-hmm.
They've picked up Mills, Muliaina, you know, to round out their back three with Sonesi and... they're struggling. You've got too many midfielders. You know, they're mm-hmm. putting Ma Nonu on the wing this weekend because they can't fit him in the centres.
Which is stupid because you want Nonu to get the ball.
Well, you do, but I mean, if they give him the same licence that the Waratahs gave to Kiwi last year to come in and find it where he wants it, you know, he's a dangerous player. You know, they've lost Brent Ward in the off season to the Blues, but I don't see that as a great loss for exchange for Mills.
I mean, for me, though, the whole
Conrad Smith and Umaga are in the centres. You know, I don't think you can get a stronger outside back line.
Yeah. I mean, I've got to say, the whole giving licence to a winger to come in just means they're standing in the midfield and the ball's flung out to an empty touchline, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a risk. It's a risk, but I think, you know, those guys can probably take it in the midfield and shut down those outside avenues for other teams.
Yeah. Does he have the kicking game to play a real back three, though?
Probably not, but he's still young and could learn that.
So it's a sailor option.
He's pretty much a sailor option.
Which is a shame for a player who's a brilliant bloody centre.
That's right. Yeah. But, you know, what do? You've got too many good backs if one of them gets injured.
One of them's going to get injured, so, yeah. All right, then, that's the Hurricanes, your tip for finish?
I'd probably put the Hurricanes as an outside tip for a top four finish.
Okay, then. All right, that's the New Zealand teams. We'll break for a song now and be back in just a minute. And that was Bubble with their song Master Dead Ender. Now, moving into the South African teams, first on my list, we've got the Bulls.
Yeah, Bulls are always a tough outfit at home. Playing at altitude at Loftus, they're always a strong outfit, and they've got incredibly experienced and tough tight five and the entire pack. They'll be hard to beat at home. They travel reasonably well, and for my money, they'll finish the best of the South African teams again this year.
Okay. And the impact of Perth on the South African teams?
Yeah, it'll really help them. Mm-hmm.
Stopover's going to make touring easier?
It will for them. Mm-hmm. Even for, say, the New Zealand teams going back the other way, it'll help them as as well. So it'll open up a bit. But I think for the South Africans in particular, they'll travel much better than they have in previous years.
Right. And you think the return to forward fundamentals in rugby in general is going to benefit the Bulls this season?
Yeah, I've noticed a sort of trend across all of the forward packs. The front rows are beefing up all over the place. And I think the experience of the Bulls pack will stand them in good stead. I'd put them as a strong chance for top four finish.
Top four finish. Okay, then moving on, we have the Cats. Whenever they play here in Canberra, they tend to lose by cricket scores. Do you think they're going to improve at all?
No, I can't see the Cats doing much at all. One of the things I like about the way the South Africans have structured their teams this year is that there's real competition not to be relegated.
That's a bit odd having a team being relegated, but only from the South African League.
Yeah, I quite like it, actually. I've always been a fan of that system. It gives teams, even when they're losing, something to play for.
Yeah.
But for my money, the Cats of the South African teams will be the team to go. They're good on paper, but, crumble.
You don't think they're going to put it together?
No, I can't see it.
Yeah. All right, then. Moving on. Cheetahs, the newcomers.
Cheetahs, I quite like. They've got an incredibly good front row. And, a nice blend of youth and experience. It's a bit hard to tell. I haven't watched a huge amount of Curry Cup, so I don't know many of the names on their side, but they're last year's Curry Cup winners. And I think they'll do well.
Now, unlike the Force, which is a made-up team mostly of Queenslanders, the Cheetahs are a real team with a real pre-existing identity.
Yeah,
and that obviously must feel they've got something to prove, having been previously left out of the Super 12 when other South African teams were playing.
Yeah, I don't see that as a huge disadvantage to them in any sense.
You don't see it being a motivating factor?
No, perhaps less so than you might think.
Yeah.
But time may prove me wrong.
Fair enough then. Okay, now the Sharks, the best performing of the South African teams historically.
Only because the Bulls had such a shitty run early on in the Super 12.
Yeah.
Sharks are another strong outfit. They don't travel very well.
Is Butch James still going around for them?
I believe he is, but I haven't checked their roster.
Yeah.
They're an okay outfit, and I think they'll do okay again this year. I don't put them in the top four. In fact, I think they'll, middle of the table finish for them.
Middle of the table. Okay, and finally from South Africa, the Flash Gits from Cape Town, the Stormers.
I like the Stormers outfit. They've got an incredibly sort of talented bunch of individuals, unfortunately.
You just like that they wear black, don't you?
I don't really care whether they wear black or not.
It looks cool, though.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But they've got a great outfit. Berger, they've got Habana on the wing, who's is really stepped up over the last year.
Well, he's added a lot to his play. He always was a bit of grease lightning, but now he can actually catch the ball.
Yeah, they're a very opportunistic side, I think, and continue to do so this year, particularly when you've got that kind of pace on the wing. Whether the return to forward play, where there is a return to forward play this year, impacts that width of their game. And we see Habana sitting out there with a hat and cigar.
Mm-hmm.
Doing nothing, or he's not the type of player that goes hunting for the ball as much as other wingers. They're a strong team.
Yep.
They're a strong team. Top eight finish.
Top eight finish. Okay, are there any teams you think are going to finish in the bottom four?
Anyone who's not going to finish in the top.
Yeah.
I'd put definitely the Cats. I'd probably put the Reds down there. As much as I'd like to see the Force finish in the top half of the competition, I don't think so.
Okay, well, we're going to come to the Australian teams in a moment. Yeah. All right, right now we'll just break for another song and be back in a minute.
Relationships are lame, but I allow myself to get attached to her. It's just a game. It's always the same old crap. I get my heart broken. It's easy to predict. I wish I was numb. Yeah. long time bomb.
And that was Ticking Time Bomb by Demerit 7.
Okay, then on to the Australian teams. We'll move over from the Brumbies for the moment. Western Force, could they have picked a better coach to get a team of together in the Super Leagues?
Super 14.
Yeah, but he was his record was in Super 12.
Yeah, so. No. Mm-hmm. No, John Mitchell is the best choice available,
yeah.
I think. And even with the choice of other coaches.
Do you think if they'd known Eddie Jones would be available? But...
No, I reckon I still would have taken John Mitchell, personally.
Mm-hmm.
For forging together a fairly disparate group of players who, you know, haven't played together before. John Mitchell's the guy.
Yeah, I remember seeing him when the All Blacks played South Africa down at the Docklands Stadium in Melbourne. I actually went down to see that game, and the before the game started, he was kicking the ball to the players. He was in his suit, but he was kicking the ball to the players, and I thought he had them really keyed up. I mean, he ended up losing his job in that tournament, but certainly looked like a pretty happy outfit then.
Yeah, I think that, you know, that's the kind of attitude that I see is being instilled in the Perth team. You know, a team that enjoys playing its rugby, and I think that can only put him in good stead, you know.
Yep. Now, the John Eales in the Financial Reviews described Force as Queensland A, and Queensland being Queensland B after the recruiting they've done.
Probably a little exaggerated,
mm-hmm.
But certainly Queensland were fairly decimated by the Force's recruitment.
They were easy picking, though, weren't they?
Well, the perennial underachievers of the Super 12, mm-hmm. you know, brilliant during Super 10, of course, but, you know, hadn't shown the goods for a couple of years, and I can understand how players would get disgruntled with that and look for new opportunities. And I think, you know, the Perth team has really offered that to them.
Mm. Yep.
You know, particularly with their coaching problems, the opportunity to play under John Mitchell must have been attractive for a lot of the players.
Did they know Mitchell was going to be the coach when they signed up? Yeah, okay. I could see that, especially with Jeff Miller heading to shot duck status.
Well, you know, they've had so many coaches over the last couple of years since Connolly got the shaft. It must be very unsettling for them, and that's evident from loss. You know, any number of South African teams where they've shot their coach with the first sign of failure.
Yeah, with the exception being the Brumbies, who shot the coach and won the tournament.
Yeah. Well.
You wonder how much coaching he was doing. Yeah. Okay, moving on to Queensland B. How are they going to go this season?
I think they'll struggle. I don't think they've got the depth. They've got a good starting 15.
They picked a 19-year-old Leagy to be their number 10 this
year. Yeah, that's a bit of an experiment in my view. Berrick
Odd
Barnes.
Odd game to experiment in.
Yeah, Berrick Barnes is a bit of an unknown quantity. And I think, but you know, if they look at it and say, we've got this pseudo-Wallaby squad, which is wearing blue this time in the Waratahs.
It's a pseudo piss poor Wallaby squad, though.
And we're not expected to win this game, and the most punters aren't. Certainly the bookies are
Is there any home game for Queensland against New South Wales that they can afford not to win?
Well, no. But who else they got?
Flatley?
Flatley's at inside centre.
Yeah, but you wouldn't play him at fly half.
Yeah, I'm surprised. It does surprise me, actually, they haven't put Flatley at fly half and Johansson at inside centre. But, you know, who knows what they're thinking.
Do you think Berrick Barnes is going to play more than 10 minutes?
Yeah, I do, actually. I'd put him on. I suspect we'll see him for all the first half and a reasonable component of the second.
Okay.
Depending on how they're going. Mm. You know, they've got Huxley at outside centre.
Huxley can come in and play pivot as well. So.
Yeah, I mean, they're running 3-5-8s.
Which is no bad thing, especially when you've got New South Wales's backline defensive problems.
Yeah, I think we'll see Queensland kick a lot against New South Wales.
Yeah, we'll get back to the head-to-head later.
We'll get to that later on.
Mm-hmm.
They've got Drew Mitchell, who really stood up as one of the standout players the Wallabies tour last
year. I still think he gives away more points than he scores.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
He'll get better,
Blake
though.
Blake has really, you know, said, I'm having number 15 jersey for the Wallabies, and has made his game considerably more consistent than in previous years. Their front row, Blake and Holmes, have a bit more experience and are both big units and will do quite well this year. But, you know, I think they'll lose out in their back three. In fact, I can't even think who they've got for out their blind side this year now that Heenan's moved on.
At least the back three will be able to kick this season.
Rowan Croft, great without being exceptional.
I think Rowe is extremely underrated, and I think Rowe this season, without Sharp there, will stand up.
Yeah, he could do. They're very consistent players, but without being outstanding.
I'd pick Rowe in any team at any level, just about. He never lets anyone down. That's just my view on him.
You'd pick him against Lions anyway.
Oh, I'd pick anyone against Lions. Speaking of David Lyons, the Waratahs, they've still got a forward full of lazy fat fuckers.
Yes, with the exception of their new hooker. The young fella's name? I can't think of it now.
All right, moving on. He's good.
Yeah, he's good. Whatever his name is, he's good. Young Islander fella. Who had about 10 minutes worth of Wallabies glory last year and played exceptionally well. But, you know, with only Dunning and Baxter in their front row, I hate those two guys. I can't believe they keep making the Wallabies.
Well, it's like the Poms keep giving us a ribbing about it. If Dunning's the best open side, loose head prop in Australia, then what does that say about Australia?
And
Dunning's lost his running game. I mean, the only thing he had going for him was a fat winger playing in the forwards, and he's not even that anymore.
Yes, because he's scrummaging, apparently.
Oh, he's concentrating on his scrummaging.
Waratahs, for me, a wealth of loose forwards.
Alcanar, is he going to step up a level this season?
Maybe. They haven't picked him for the first game against the Reds.
That's not a good sign, then, is it?
No, they've picked some other fellow. I can't name his name.
Yep.
But Vickerman will, again, you know, if he remains uninjured, will lead the line out and will be picked for the Wallabies again. Far too many back rowers to choose from. I keep reading this stuff that Phil Wall's the, you know, a god. I'm not sure who would pray to him.
I'd be scared. I remain unconvinced as to Phil Wall's merits. He's the sort of guy who always looks good in a losing team.
Yeah. You know, and then they've got sort of a choice of guys at 5'8". You know, Sam Two Dads.
They've gone with Donnelly.
The defector, Donnelly, for the first game up against the Reds. Yeah, interesting choice. Sean Byrne, of course, and Matt Rogers, you know, if and when he ever returns from bereavement. You know, showed he's quite a capable player.
Do you think they should be worried about Rogers? I mean, I can understand taking some time off initially, but... you know, the announcement keeps changing as to when he's coming back. Do you think it's likely he might just disappear forever? Or
no, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I kind of feel for the guy. He's had some huge changes in the last 12 months. Father died, separated from his wife, and professionally, he's stepped up for the Wallabies and made a name for himself as a number 10. So
number 10 in a losing side, though.
Yeah, well, number 10 in a losing side.
It wasn't his fault, but
no. But so he's got personal tragedy on one hand and, professional achievement on the other. So who knows what's going through the guy's mind.
Yeah.
For the rest of the team, they've got massive backs. You could sort of switch the backs and the forwards around and they'd be fine. I think that's what McKenzie's trying to go for, particularly with this crap about the bloody, letters on their backs.
Were you glad the ARU put the kibosh on that?
Oh, I think they're ridiculous. Yes, I'm quite happy about it.
Yeah. I don't like this idea. Well, the total rugby thinking, I think, is bankrupt. That all players should be a ball player, all players should be a running player. At any given moment, only one player can be holding the ball and running. And, okay, you want someone else who can hold the ball and run it to throw it to. But other than that, you need guys who can win scrums, you need guys who can win lineouts, you need guys who can ruck, you need guys who can maul. And to sacrifice those other skills on the altar of having 15 guys who can run and pass... I think is a mistake.
Yeah, well, you sort of get into, I just right back to my economics lectures at uni about specialisation.
Division of labour.
Division of labour. Yeah. But, they've got some, they've got Saylor and Hewitt and whoever's on the other wing and Takiri and Turanui and all these big guys who are quite fast. Kick on? I'd like to see him kick on this year. I'd like to see him do quite well.
He was a bit of a freak last year. He came in as a bit of an unknown quantity.
Hard done by Eddie Jones not to make the Wallabies.
Yeah, well, Eddie was...
particularly in light of how crap everyone else is playing.
Yeah.
But I don't, you know, despite their end of season tour where McKenzie was experimenting with depth, I look at their roster and I can't see a lot of depth there.
Yep. Yep. Okay, and Waratahs, where do you reckon they'll finish?
They'll be in the top four.
Fair enough then. Okay, we'll go to a song and then we'll be back to discuss the draw this weekend and make our tips. Was Baseless with their song My Girl. Now, of course, I've forgotten someone in our roundup of the teams, and that's the Brumbies.
Yeah, the only bloody Intoy Porter team we care about.
That's so true, yep. Geriatric backline. How's it going to go?
Mate, they're rock.
Yeah.
And they're not that geriatric, actually. You know, with the exception of Larkham and George. Morlock's only 27.
Yeah, okay, sorry, the amount of bandages he has to wrap himself in.
Okay, so it's cotton wool.
Yeah.
Maybe you should get out in a gridiron outfit and
yeah.
You know, not be able to crash through. But
mm-hmm.
If he can remain uninjured, we'll do well.
Yeah.
If any of those three guys can remain uninjured, we'll do well.
Mm.
But, you know, I really like the way the guys stepped up last year. Fairbanks did well. Adam Ashley Cooper's a very versatile backline player and could probably slot in everywhere. I think he's going to try and make the number 15 jersey his own this year, of course.
Yeah.
We can probably bring in Rathbone into outside centre if we need to. Yeah, I think we're okay.
If Gerard stays fit, I mean, we've all seen what he can do as well. I mean, that's a world-class player who's...
The Brumbies over the last year have really suffered from injuries, and I kind of wonder what their training program is.
I was going to say, how much of that's the training?
I mean, last year they were hit ridiculously by injuries.
Mm. Now, I was reading today that Coach Laurie Fisher, and this was in The Australian, was admitting that it was a mistake last year to only have Steve Larkham as his game plan.
Yeah, you could say that.
Yeah, surely at that level you must expect that every player is going to be injured and be planning around every player. I mean, I was just gobsmacked looking at that thing. You're coaching a bloody multi-million dollar franchise.
I think for any team in the Super 12, their reliance on the 5/8 as the key playmaker is a problem. You look at the Crusaders, they lose Dan Carter, they got Major. Major's an okay player, but he's not a Dan Carter. You know, you even heard from Guto this year, you know, after the Wallabies tour when he was playing a lot of number 10, saying, I'm not a number 10.
Well, that's going to be a problem for Giddo because he's not an inside centre in the long run either.
I actually like him as an inside centre. You know, that's
yeah, but
second
he's a little on the small side.
I think he's bulked up over the off-season.
You can't bulk up your height, though.
Yeah, I was surprised when I read in on the Brumbies site that he's 1.87 metres because I swear I'm not that tall and he's shorter than me.
He can't be 1.87 metres.
No, fuck no. Larkham's a real key point for the Brumbies, and they lose him. You know they'll struggle again.
He's the best player in the world. Do you think basing the game plan around him was ever wise though? I mean, because whatever game plan you have, he's going to do something special.
No, I think you can base your game plan around him, but I think you need alternatives.
Yeah. Apparently we've got those this year, so
which is nice to hear. Yeah. But you know, if you base your game plan on any one player, and that's your only option, you know, your opposition's pretty soon going to pick that up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it might not be the first round, second round, third round, but, you know, that team that you face in the fourth round, they've been watching every game you've played, and they know the ball's going to get Larkham, and Larkham's going to do this.
It's always been a strength of, I mean, it's actually a New Zealand tactic that we've adopted early at the Brumbies, was playing, instead of inside centre, second fly half. So having a guy, and that's where Giddo comes in with his abilities at fly half, playing an inside centre. That you can stand Larkham and Giddo either side, and you've got a credible threat either side of the halfback. And then if George takes a little longer to throw the ball, that's just creating more confusion, not less in the...
Yeah, we'll be interested to see how George goes this year. He's had under a lot of criticism for the speed of his delivery and not running as much as he did when he was a young tacker.
Mm.
I'm allowed to say that because I think I'm older than him.
Maybe, yeah. I think with George, at the end of the Wallabies tour, there's all this garbage about, oh, he should be sacked. The best halfback in the Super 14 has to be selected as Australian halfback has to be selected as the Wallabies halfback, doesn't he?
Yeah, I agree. And I think you'd have to take in leadership skills as a quality there as well.
As a bonus.
As a bonus. You know,
if it's a near-run thing.
But it's not all about the speed of delivery or, the fact that you can take down Usa Rant and, all that sort of stuff. It's you look at the whole package of what someone brings to the team.
Yeah.
I don't want to sort of get into the Wallaby squad. We'll save that for later in the year. But I think you really need to take a look at every halfback Australia has to offer.
He's going to have to play a blinding season and he's going to have to score a lot of tries to hold his position.
I don't even think you need to score tries as a halfback, but you need to be able to set up your...
Yeah, he's going to need to run more.
He needs to run more and tackle more. I've noticed of late that George has this tendency to sort of...
complain to the ref when he
should be
tackling.
Complain to the ref and pulling guys to the ground and just running backwards. But he really needs to sort of step up and run more.
Yep.
He's certainly got the skills to do so. And I think with...
But he's a smart guy. I think he knows what he has to do better than we do.
Yeah. But converting that onto the field is obviously quite different.
Yeah.
The rest of the Brumbies outfit, I like. Both Nick Henderson and Bill Young have put on kilos in the off-season. Obviously,
They had to.
They're both at 110. I think they're both at 115 now, which is still a light front row.
Yeah.
Compared to, say, the Cheetahs who have... all three front rowers are 130 kilos.
They'll get tired though. I mean, that's not an 80-minute front row.
Don't bet on it. They had to, and I think that was a criticism of Bill Young and Nick Henderson of previous years that they didn't have the weight. Guy Shepherdson's put on a few more kilos as well, and he'll be valuable off the bench. So they've got a good front row. Hopefully JP will come back uninjured and as good as he was playing last year. I like the guys in the second row. Chisholm will be better for a bit of off-season experience. Al Campbell, I was impressed with when he was playing for the Waratahs, as much as I am with now. Wallace Harrison on the bench. Daniel Heenan is definitely an outside, a blindside flanker.
He's not Mellon, though, is he?
No, I think he's got the potential to be.
Yeah.
He's got good height. He's got good weight. He's quite quick and reasonable ball skills. Certainly much quicker than Mellon was ever.
In his later years, anyway.
So as long as he remains uninjured, he's a good option. I think he'll really sort of flourish with the Brumbies.
Mm-hmm.
Samo back again this year, and let's hope that You know, he can regain some of the form he had in 2004.
Yeah.
Tuaki's on the bench and is a good option at, you know, at number eight.
Tuaki's a very good player to be starting on the bench.
Young guy. But, yeah. You know, you've got to try and, you know, knock out George Smith there.
Yeah.
Julian Salvi only played a few minutes with the Brumbies at the end of last season, but I was really impressed with the way he went.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and working with George Smith, I think, would be a valuable experience for him as any young fella.
Yeah. Losing Sam Norton Knight.
Not as big a loss as I think.
Yeah?
No, I first thought, you know, he was a good guy. And certainly a very capable backup, but I don't think it's as huge a loss as we might have otherwise thought.
Well, he was always... The starting back line is quite awesome if they can stay fit.
Yes.
And there really wasn't room for him in it.
Yes.
So.
I mean, even the guys coming off the bench, you know, Gene Fairbanks, and some of the new fellows who I think will value, you know, gain a lot of experience over the season, you know, can step into any role. Joel Wilson's there again. Joel's got a lot of...
the revolving door.
Joel's got a lot of critics, but, you know, I read on the Brumbies side, his nickname is Mr. Dependable.
Mm.
And he's been around a lot of years and can fill pretty much any backline position. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, he's an option for us there. So it's not bad. You know, you look at the starting lineup, and it's a pretty bloody good starting lineup, certainly in the back line. You know, George, Bernie, Gitz, Sterlo at outside centre.
Rathbone, Gerard,
Ashley Cooper at fullback, you know, and Ashley Cooper, you know, I was really impressed with the few games he played for the Brumbies last year, and he, you know, he's quite versatile.
Not too suspect under the high ball.
Yeah, possibly, but I think that just comes with experience.
Mm. All right then, can the Brumbies finish in the top four?
No.
No.
No. I don't see it.
You don't see
year.
The players.
I'd like to, but I think, you know, a couple of key injuries. Like we had last year, and we start to show some holes, and you know, perhaps next year when those guys who are coming up to fill the holes get a bit more experience, you know, then you get that depth.
Also, halfback.
The young fella who played a bit when George was injured last year.
Matthew Henjak.
No, not Henjak. The other fella.
All right.
I can't think of his name, but yeah. A young guy, only 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually really impressed with.
Yep.
You know, ran the ball well, distributed well, mm-hmm. And showed quite, you know, some good vision.
Okay.
Might have just because he was fresh off the bench and hadn't been thumped by some massive forwards all go long. But yeah, I was quite impressed with him.
All right then. Okay. So Brumby's top eight, do you think?
I'd like to see the top eight. Yeah, I know I'm not picking many teams in the bottom eight, mind you, but
yeah. Bottom six.
Yes. Yeah, it's only 14, isn't it? I'd put them in the top eight.
Okay. All right, then, we're going to break. We're honestly going to tip for the round after this song.
Of my life and change the colors of my stripe, and when my battery's dead, I'll put in you instead. So remote controlling destiny will never bring you back to me. Since the year 1994, I haven't seen you anymore. Remote controlling destiny will never bring you back to me. Since the year 1994, I haven't seen you anymore. A good job, a brand new car, and get myself a stripping bar. Fast forward all the boring bits, slow motion all those flashing tits. Multiply my beers by two, and when they're empty, make them new. Halloween. It's the year 1994. I have to see you anymore. Remote control and destiny will never bring you back to me. It's the year 1994. I haven't seen you anymore.
Okay, that was Remote Control by Amplifonic, and at this point, Katina, who's been very quiet, is going to join us and give us her tips for these games, the idea being that people who know little about rugby tend to tip better than people who think they know a lot.
That's the theory. Anyway.
That's the theory. So, first up, Blues versus Hurricanes in Auckland, the big local derby. This is a bit of a grudge match. It's got to be Auckland, doesn't it?
I'm going to go with the Canes.
Yep.
Yeah, I reckon against the head first up, I'm going to go with the Hurricanes.
Okay.
I picked the Blues. On the basis that I had tipping for amateurs, and the first team was home team.
Right. Okay.
Tip the home team. Rule number one.
Tip the home team. Okay. Second game of the night, Force versus Brumbies in Perth.
I went the home team again.
Oh, you foolish girl.
Brumbies, I say. I think it's, this is going to be a game. The Brumbies will come out and try and intimidate them, won't they?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Yeah, your thoughts on the game?
Brumbies too experienced, too many guns.
Yeah.
Too many options for the Force.
Yeah. Okay, you don't think Nathan Sharp's going to finally do something?
No.
Do you think Nathan Sharp's ever going to do anything?
Nathan Sharp's a bit like a lot of the other players that came from Queensland.
Yeah.
John Rowe, David Croft.
Yeah.
A really good, nice, consistent guy. It's like a nice guy.
Yeah. All right.
They're just nice guys.
Okay. So you're tipping the Brumbies in that one?
I'm tipping the Brumbies. I know Katina's going to tip the Force because it's the home team. Traitor. Rule one. Okay. Rule one is always tip the Brumbies. What are you tipping?
It's done us, me, Brumbies.
Yeah, you're the Brumbies man.
Yeah,
okay.
Brumbies. Okay, next up we've got Cheetahs versus the Bulls in Bloemfontein. So,
Oh, mate, it's got a cracker in it.
It is, isn't it? The Clash of the Titans.
It will be.
I'm going to go the Cheetahs on that one. Curry Cup form, playing at home.
Cheetahs at home, Katina, okay.
Cheetahs as well.
Good girl. I'm going to go with the Bulls.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm going to buck tradition.
Contrarian tipping?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, now the
Someone's going to come out well, aren't they?
Yeah. The South Island Derby, this is going to be brutal. Crusaders versus Highlanders in Christchurch.
Yeah, okay, about as brutal as the scoreline. Crusaders by a mile.
Yeah, okay. All right, I'll tip the Crusaders. I rarely tip against them.
Yeah, the Crusaders I heard they won last year.
Yeah, and they're at home too.
Okay, they've really set up this first round with grudge matches, because the next one on the list is the Reds and the Waratahs.
If the Waratahs don't win by 20 points...
You'll count that as a tip against?
You're
going to spread that, are you?
No, I reckon the Waratahs. Too big, too fast, too strong.
Too not shit. On the other hand, there is the Dell factor.
I don't really care.
Yep.
It's not going to be enough. I mean, Queensland's advertising of the last 2 weeks is, he deserted us. He's now a New South Wales player. Kind of crap. Bloody hell, can we come on something better than that?
Yeah. I'm going to go with the Reds. I think Wendell Saylor is such a shit player that he's going to...
That's good. So Drew Mitchell, who's on his wing...
Yeah.
Drew Mitchell's
going to run rings around Wendell Saylor.
Yeah, but remember, they both give away as many as they score.
Yeah, but Drew Mitchell's faster, so it's going to score a lot more.
You don't think Wendell's going to run over? What about Takiri running over Huxley or not?
Yeah, you got Latham. Huxley can tackle. I mean, he gets injured. He'll get injured and get stretched off, and someone else will be out there. So. And your tip?
The Reds, because they're at home and it's hot.
Right.
It might be hot.
It's Brisbane. It's early in the season.
All right.
Okay. Cats v Stormers in Joburg.
Oh God, can't get past the Stormers here.
You don't think?
No, yeah.
Cats at home.
No, the Cats suck.
Yeah.
I'm going Stormers.
Yeah, I can't get past the Stormers there either.
I picked them too because I
thought
I couldn't
be
both home
team.
There we go.
All right, Stormers to win convincingly.
It's a sweep for the Stormers on dubious grounds. Okay, and the only non-local derby is the Sharks versus the Chiefs in Durban. I don't think you can go past the Sharks there, can you?
Not at Durban. Not first up.
Yeah.
The Chiefs have to go too far. I like the Chiefs, but...
They're never great travellers.
Never great travellers.
And it's Durban.
Yeah. Okay, the Sharks.
Are they still running that thing with the you win the prize and you get to be in the jacuzzi on the sideline?
I don't know, but can we win?
Yeah.
You can come too. No worries. Who are you tipping?
The Sharks as well.
The Sharks as well.
Okay then. That's us for the night. It's been fun. We'll be recording another one hopefully earlier in the week next week. So stay tuned for more and find out how we go in the tipping through the year. Okay. Good night.
Good night.
And good night from Tim.